Okay. Name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the first month, the fifth day, right? And the year 2025, which the Lord hath made.
Let us be glad and rejoice there.
And it's the feast day of the most holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's a good name. I love that. That's a good name.
What do we say? Isn't have it? Mercy on us or save us?
The name of names. Bless and protect us.
Bless and protect us.
Most holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless and protect us. I mean, the power of just... Now, other people have the name Jesus, like Joshua.
Yeah.
But he's the ultimate Jesus. And you had Puerto Ricans and Spanish. Is that the way in Mexico South? But the Puerto Ricans, they have the name of Jesus. That's the Esteban de Jesus.
Jesus.
They'll have the name... Mexicans too, right? So the Spanish, they take on in it. I would hate to have the name Jesus.
Yeah. It's funny because Jesus, they call him Chewy.
Chewy.
Oh, really?
It's interesting.
Because they don't want to use the name Jesus.
I don't know why Chewy.
Maybe they're afraid to use the name Jesus. Yeah. You know, like imagine that. My name is Jesus. I bring.
Yeah. Or like me too. It's Chava. It's
Chava.
Chava. I was like, Chava. I don't know why.
So a lot of times it was the last name.
Yeah.
Remember that boxer, Esteban de Jesus from Puerto Rico? He's the one that would give Duran, he's the only guy that beat Duran, I think, but Duran came and beat him back twice, but they even have it as a last name.
Yeah.
So it'd be like Richard Jesus or Jesus Richard in English.
Yeah.
My name is Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, that's why I probably, my name is Chewy or something. Give it another name.
It's funny because like even in the like English, like when, you know, people, Americans say like, they don't say Jesus, they say Jesus.
Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like, you know, Jesus. Yeah. It's weird.
Or they go, who are you? And you go, I'm Jesus. That's even worse.
I know.
That's even worse. Who am I?
Yeah.
I'm Jesus. Oh, okay, everybody out the back door. You know, it's really great. I'm watching The Chosen again. You know, last night, the scene where she was saying, but there, and even the guy, a rabbi, when he was in his hometown of Nazareth, and he said, you claim to be the Messiah, the Son of God? And I was thinking about that, too, because I was saying, why is it too much for you to believe that? You know that he's supposed to be coming. And the one guy was talking, and what's the problem? You don't want to believe that he's going to come at all? Or if you believe that he is going to come, why don't you want to believe it? I mean, they made like it was impossible that it could be him. Or like me saying I'm one of the witnesses, right? What they do about that is, they say is, there's no real witnesses, it's symbolic.
Yeah.
Or there's no real Messiah, it's symbolic. My point was, here he is, listen to what the guy's saying, he's done signs and wonders, give him some credit. But he really nailed them. Jesus nailed them really good. And when he quoted Elias and Elisha, and he said when all the people, the famine came during the time of Elias, God sent them to a Gentile woman from Sidon for 3.5 during the whole famine, not to one person in Israel.
Yeah.
So he's showing the guy their unbelief, and he got so angry at him. What are you getting angry at? It's in the Bible. What about the two witnesses? What are you getting angry at? It's in the Bible. Don't you want it to happen? Oh, no, you don't want it to happen. Because there's a whole group of people believe that either it's symbolic, it represents the law and the prophets, or it was Peter and Paul, and it already happened, which effectively just eliminates the... It doesn't even make sense.
Are they trying to say Enoch and Elias are still alive?
Yeah, that's even worse.
They never died.
That's even worse.
A lot of people say that.
But interesting because when that movie's got so many great stuff in there, I can't explain it. That's Chosen. It's so great. And when Jairus is speaking to Yosef, and he wrote the letter about it, he was inspired, and he says, you know what this means? If you go and you tell this to the rabbis in Jerusalem, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
You got to water this thing down. And then Jairus' daughter got sick, and she died.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, I'm wondering if I'm being punished by God because I believe in this man. Yeah. And Yosef said, well, it's not too late to renounce it, remove. He says, I can't renounce it, though. He says, what I read is so true. He says, I seen what he did. I believe in him.
He said, how can I deny what I know?
That's what he said, yeah. How can I deny what I know? That's what he said.
Yeah.
How can I deny what I know? And so it's interesting, too, because he was thinking correctly at first. Maybe I'm being punished because I'm believing in this man.
Right.
And he's a false prophet. But I read about his Sermon on the Mount, and I heard about the miracles he's doing, and he just lit me on fire. So it was a test. And it, what's great about it later on, it, it turns out to be, Christ comes and raises the daughter because of his faith. It was great.
Because Christ said, you know, if you don't believe in me, then believe in my miracles.
Yeah. And then listen to what I'm saying. Does it match? Like even the one guy, Jairus, he says, I read the Torah. I read I hear his words. The Torah prophesied about him, Moses. He says, and he's fulfilling it. Yeah. Like Simeon the prophet, he says, he is filling these words up. Yeah. The other guy, the rabbi in the synagogue in Nazareth, he didn't want to even study to see if he's fulfilling the prophecies. Like, don't you even know your own Bible, your own prophecies? Like today, what we're going through. These stupid so-called Christians, they read the New Testament and the Old, and they think that these Jews have denied Christ or God's chosen people. How could these things go hand in hand? So they will condemn me as a false prophet for condemning them because they believe that these Christ-denying Jews are Christ's chosen people. I'm the one who will be condemned. And then when we start doing miracles, we can say, look what my brand is saying. Look at what he's saying. And look at the scriptures honestly. See, that's the big thing, honestly. How many people really look at the scriptures honestly? They don't. They twist it. They lie about them. I mean, we've seen it. You know, when someone lies like that, that's why Jesus, when he came to him, he didn't preach to these people. Forget them. If he did preach parables or not even preach at all, you saw it when he was in Nazareth. It was interesting, too, because even Rapha, the guy that from the Canaan, who saw a miracle at the wedding of his daughter, and he went against Jesus. He's ready to throw him off the cliff. And he's going, oh, I seen what you did with the wine. Fine, but a prophet, maybe. But now you're claiming to be the Messiah? You know? This is too much. And you know, Mary and Martha, they loved it because she believed it. And she wanted to ask ahead of time, are you... No, man, don't ask him. Don't ask him. Are you the... No, don't ask him. She said, he's the Messiah. She was anxious. And she loved it when he said that. But look at the other people that were in there.
And they were his friends. They were. I love that scene because they were like so friendly. Reading Jesus. Jesus.
Then all of a sudden,
when he prays, boom.
Bang!
They were the ones holding his arm.
Ready to throw him off the cliff. I know it's great when Lazarus was asking him, are you going to let us know what's going on? And he says, be careful what you ask for, Jesus told him. Because tonight I'm going to tell you who I am. And you guys are going to get some heat. You know? And so, and then Lazarus tried to say, it was great, the whole scene was great. He tried to say, well, no, he didn't really mean that. And then Jesus said, no, that is what I meant. He goes, that is what I meant. All right, don't try to like deny what I just said. It's so perfect. And then when he whispered to Lazarus, they don't tell you what he's whispering. But he's whispering to him, don't worry about it. They're not going to kill me. You know, and his mother, too. He said, go tell them my mom. So it's really great because even the mother's getting a taste of this is like one of his first attacks that he's going to get in his own hometown. And they're ready to throw him off the cliff. The rabbi is going crazy. You false prophecy. You're saying this is the prophecy of Isaiah? Well, okay, who do you want it to be? My point is, can you convict him of doing something against the law? And any law that he did violate, it was epikaya. It was disciplinary law. Can you convict him of anything against dogmas, faith and morals? Can you convict them of teaching her? See, that what they but they didn't believe God could become a man.
That's what it is.
That was the new one.
That's the old.
That was the new revelation where God could become man. That's really got them ticked off.
Well, Micaiah's taught that he could... God converse with men. Isn't it Micaiah?
Yes, Baruch 3:30. God converse with men.
Yeah, I just read that this morning.
You know, that's why in the beginning, some of the rabbis, I can see that. Even the apostles had a little bit of problem with God and man. And that's why God said, anybody who speaks against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him, as long as you repent. It doesn't mean you can stay that way. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven him. Holy Spirit meaning, you're convicted by the Holy Spirit. You know it's true. Now you're lying. But it is kind of hard for a lot of people to believe that God, and there's three divine persons in one God. It's difficult. That's why God said, when I raise from the dead and we start preaching this, now you've got to believe that this is a dogma. Or you cannot be saved. That's part of our basic dogmas, which when he rose from the dead, proved who he was, told the apostles, yes, you got to believe he's God and man. There's three divine persons in the Holy Trinity. And even Nicodemus, they were trying to figure it out in the beginning. And many times he was telling me he was God. So they might be thinking, several things. If you go back and you look at, put ourselves back in that time. He's God and man, but there's no three divine persons. There's only one person. He's God who came down, the God of Israel, took on a human nature, but there's no Father and there's no Holy Spirit. That's easier to believe. So that was the first kind of thing. He's not telling them yet about, but he did mention God the Father, though. Which is, mm-hmm. so, yeah, yeah. It wasn't even hidden. See, that is what was hard for them.
Yeah.
They said, how could, you're talking about God as your Father,
yeah.
and you're God, too. You're, right. You and him are one, and now the Holy Spirit's come into this thing. And they're going, blasphemy!
Yeah. We know the Holy Spirit might have been hard, but then he said, I will send you a Spirit to teach you all things, but, you know, like he did say that after he left.
Right. Yeah.
But that, I don't know how you know that was God. But.
No, you won't until afterwards.
Yeah, I know exactly. Yeah, I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, okay, now you've got the Father and the Son.
Right.
Holy Spirit coming later on, which right. is more difficult.
Right.
But still revealed by Christ right. after he rose from the dead to the apostles. This is what you got to teach the people. Discipline it a secret. Don't teach it until they come in. You're not, later on, we have to teach it to everybody because it's out in the public and all that. But you can sit back and I can see some of the Pharisees going, he's making himself equal to God. Now, the question to this is, I'm just putting myself in the place of the Pharisee. I understand we said God's a father. But wait a second. Like you said, God can't become a man if he wants to. Or even appear as a man. Even if he's not really a man. But he was saying, I'm really a man from Mary. So it's not an apparition like St. Raphael.
Right.
And they can't believe it. Mm-hmm. And my point is, if all things are possible with God,
yeah.
who created everything,
yeah.
he can't take on a human nature and live intimately among stuff if he wants to.
Yes.
Does this not show his great love for his creation? Yeah. How much he loves us? How much he wants to be with us?
Yeah.
We can commune with him as not just as our father, but as a brother.
Yeah.
And I mean, he wants a son to marry. So my point to the Jews, is this impossible? Yeah. If you say it's impossible, you have no faith
right.
in anything. The harder thing is it possible for God to exist as one God and three divine persons?
Yeah.
And that a lot of them had a problem with that. Even the apostles sort of weren't sure about who he was, even on the road to Emmaus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If they thought he was really, really God and man, they wouldn't have worried so much because he's going to resurrect and all that. But after the resurrection, and many times, especially getting near the end of his ministry, he's telling people, I'm God. I'm the Father of one. You see me, you see the Father. So it's difficult. And he knew it was difficult. Nicodemus, his struggles, he's going, this is something new and wonderful. Something it's a new revelation. It's the ultimate revelation. Yeah, you were waiting for the... And the other thing that was really bad, because one of the guys was saying, and the apostles had this problem too. They thought he was coming as a conquering
right.
king.
Yeah, I was going to say.
First, read the Bible. He doesn't come as a conquering king first. He comes to redeem us and to save our souls. Then later on as a conquering king, Isaiah 53.
The suffering servant, yeah.
Yeah. And so I can understand, they had problems with that too. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to destroy Rome right now. No, first I got to die on the cross so your sins could be remitted. So even the Old Testament elect could get to heaven. This is your ticket to heaven. Me dying on the cross. And then later on, you're going to get that. So, okay, there's complicated things. And I think Joseph, and you know Nicodemus, we know, there's Joseph, Arimathea, they were saved. And there were quite a few Pharisees that did convert. Gamaliel, and so there was that group, and the movie shows that. So they could be saying that once after he rose from the dead, that's when you put the icing on the cake about those dogmas.
Yeah.
And that's what she said. Now you have to believe that I am God and man and that there's three divine persons and one God. We're all God, but there's only one God. There's God the Father, there's God the Son, there's God the Holy Spirit. And this was taught in the beginning in secret, right. Discipline in the secret. That's why St. Paul would hint at it many times because they said they're not worthy to hear it yet. They first have to come in and show some faith and then we can reveal this deeper. It's a basic dogma, really, but this dogma that they're going to need to believe once they start showing an act of faith, and then we can start teaching them about the Holy Trinity.
Right.
And later on, the reason discipline is secret finally wasn't used anymore was because all the heretics, like the Arians, were coming out and publicly professing that, denying
yeah.
the three divine persons, and writing books on it, and converting people. That there's no three divine persons. There's only one God. Jesus isn't really God. That's being published in the public domain. Now you have to defend it.
Yeah, exactly.
Now you got to preach it. It's to convert people. Mm-hmm. How are you going to convert an Arian or somebody who heard an Arian unless you now publicly, you can't keep it secret, go out and profess the dogma? When you look at the church fathers, they wrote book on book on book on book. St. Athanasius, St. Augustine, St. Cyril of Jerusalem, St. Cyprian, book on book on book on book about the Holy Trinity. Because now it needs to be revealed. Because now you got all these idiots out there claiming to be Christians,
right?
Mm-hmm. and denying these dogs. That's a whole thing. It's very interesting, too, when you read the whole history of that and about the discipline of the secret. But my point is, okay, Jesus said, you may deny me being the Son of God because you don't quite understand it yet. But if you deny the Holy Ghost, you're really in problems. Because what that's saying is, the Holy Ghost, God knows, it convicted you of something. You saw it. Mm-hmm. You know it. And you lied. That's bad. When you got, look when you show these guys, John 8, 45, unbelieving Jews are sons of the devil. That's like a sin against the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying it's the ultimate sin against the Holy Spirit. They can still convert, maybe, but that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're looking at that, I mean, but the whole thing to me, Christ took them in steps, but even when he's, it's great because he's saying, the Son of Man has the power to forgive sins.
Yeah.
Well, that's God. God's the only one that institutes, that's what they were saying. God, through Moses, told us you have to go to the high priest and offer up an animal sacrifice. Now you say, I can go to you and you can do that. Are you God? That's what he's telling them. When he says that I'm the Lord of the Sabbath, that was another big one. On the Epikaya, when they're eating the corn, he says, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was not made for, man was not made for the Sabbath, the Sabbath for man. So that's the temple. So that's another big one he threw at them. Bangle. And they're looking at him, and they knew he claimed to be God.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's, people going to say, as a, his mission, first in the beginning, he didn't even want them to know he was the Messiah. Mm-hmm. Just a prophet. Then the Messiah, then God. And the strong hints, almost like explicit statements he was making, were clear to the Pharisees. What did they say? This man is making himself God.
That's Anthony Quinn. That's so great, that scene. And Jesus and Nazareth, yeah. And this man,
I can barely say it. Claims to be the Son of God. God himself, come down on earth.
The way he looks in the face.
Yeah. Blasphemy! You know, even he could have been forgiven, even after all what he did.
Yeah.
Even he, but he never repented. There's no record of his repentance. So after Christ rose from the dead and his apostles started preaching, and Gamaliel, he said the most wisest thing. It's in the Bible, the book of Acts, where he said, let these men alone.
Yeah.
For this counsel, or this work be of men, it'll come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest perhaps you be found to fight even against God. So the holy prophet of Gamaliel is saying, if it is true, we're going to get in deep crap here if we resist them. Let them alone and let's see what happens. He converted too, which is great. In our tradition, we have, when St. Stephen's bones were found, they were found with Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, I think, and Gamaliel, and Abibo. And these are all Pharisees. That's how we know Gamaliel was saved. Because he at least sat back and went, let's watch. So what are you looking at? You're looking at the apostles and the disciples, 72 disciples, and then you're looking at the people they're converting and how they're going out to the whole world, and you're looking at all the miracles they're doing. All right, you better get back to study. So then maybe a fire should come. I had a problem with the Holy Trinity thing. Are there three gods? No, there's not three gods. Here's what he told us. Here's what he told us. Everything else, if you look in the Bible about him as far as faith and morals, he didn't reveal the Holy Trinity yet. He didn't violate none of them. He upheld all the faith and morals. He fulfilled even all the old covenant rituals that was about him regarding the Messiah. And now his disciples are converting all those people to miracles. So then you come to the believer, the doubtful rabbi. I want to believe in him. I understand what you're saying. He's a good man. I understand the Messiah part. That now I understand it. He needed to die for our sins. He lived a good, he didn't sin against faith or morals. I believe it. I have one problem, the Holy Trinity. You're saying there's three persons but only one God? Yeah, it's exactly what we're saying. Exactly what we're saying. But God the Father is God, God the Son is God, God the Holy Spirit. Yes, they're all God, but there's still only one God. That's the mystery you got to believe in. It's above human understanding. That's what he told us. That's what he told us. That's what he is. How can you explain the miracle of Canaan? Explain that to me. How can you turn water into wine? It's water. How could it become wine? How could he walk on water? Miracles that they saw, that they knew. And they knew about miracles. And they knew there were miracles above the human understanding. So that rabbi had, and I today when I was reading the Athanasian Creed, this thought came to me that I should post it up maybe on the Facebook or something.
Crickets.
That's what I was thinking. So the rabbi sits back and you go, he's fulfilling all of these things that you do believe in. The only thing you don't believe in is you're having trouble with the Holy Trinity. Bow down your heart with faith and accept it. And when you accept it, that last thing, hard thing for you to accept, God's going to open up and flow you, fill you with all these other things that you couldn't understand. And some things you can never understand. So as you said, there's a lot of things above our human science and human reasoning. And the worst part is, let's take another rabbi. And he comes in and he doesn't want to believe in the Holy Trinity. So he goes out and he says, you know what the Muslims do this. You know what the Christians teach? They teach there's three gods. You're a liar.
He's a liar. Yeah.
That's not what we teach. Read the creeds. Read the Athanasian Creed. Read the church fathers. We don't teach there's three gods. Well, how could the three persons each be God and there's only one God? It's a mystery. It's a mystery of faith, above human reason.
Right.
And even the Holy Eucharist is not only above human reason, it's above human science. Mm-hmm. You believe it. Okay? The infinity of God. Can anyone wrap their head around how God always existed? Can you wrap your head around that?
No.
Nobody could. And as a Jew, you would believe God always existed. So why don't you want to believe he can exist in three divine persons and one God? If that's an obstacle to you after everything you've seen that Jesus had done, you're just bad-willed. You don't want to believe in true Christianity. You're violating their faith or morals. And a lot of these Jews, the Stoic ones, like Shimei, I think it was, in the movie. I mean, he would never accept Jesus because he was so letter of the law. He didn't believe in Hezekiah. There's no circumstances in which you can eat pick corn on the Sabbath day. You know, there's no circumstances in which you can violate a disciplinary law. It's all strict down the line. And that's why he got the Stoic, strict, letter of the law guys, it got them really angry. These are disciplinary laws. You can be exempted from them. There are exceptions. It's not faith and morals. Pork, eating pork or not eating pork was a disciplinary law. Eating pork of itself is not evil. It was evil because God told you can't do it during the old covenant. And we go on and on about the Epikaya.
Yeah.
And it's legitimate, too. Like he says, if you have an ox that falls in a pit on the Sabbath day and it's ready to die, you're going to do the work to pull it out of the pit. These brothers are going to have to do some work tomorrow,
yeah.
In the holy day.
Yeah.
But
my brother Ryan today, the hot water.
Brother Ryan today!
Yeah.
His hot water, he fell into the pit.
Right, right.
Brother Ryan can't come up here today. His hot water heater fell into the pit today, yesterday. He's got to fix it. Right? And they say, look!
I hear you guys. I'm in the car.
Hey, he's still with us. I didn't like that. He's half with us and half not with us. You're not allowed to do that! Look, he's taking up his mat on the Lord's Day. You know what's great about that whole movie? When he goes into the school of Silo, they said, you could have waited 30 more minutes and healed him when the Sabbath was over. But Jesus did it purposely. To put it right in their eyeballs. And so here they are, overly strict with exemptions from disciplinary laws, and then they were making laws that were like crazy. Traditions of men that weren't even from God. Putting burdens down on men that are ridiculous. These are the kind of Pharisees that don't want to believe in Jesus no matter what. So even if you convince them through the scriptures and through the miracles, they still don't want to believe because they're so strict with something that they want to hold on to. Stoic people are like, most of your letter to law people are Stoics. Yeah. They're Stoics.
Yeah.
They're worried. They think they're breaking every law. Even they can even breathe without thinking they're breaking a law. Okay.
That's what's so beautiful about the faith anyway, is that it's all about the faith. It's not about we can convince you. It's because it's a gift. It's a gift from God to have that understanding.
That's it, Bruce. What is faith? Faith is true. I mean, even stuff we can reasonably understand, first I believe it because of faith, even if I don't reasonably understand it. But in this case, I could. But the ultimate faith is when you can't understand something by human reason. The Holy Eucharist. How could there be three divine persons and one God? I can't. How could God always... Was that? How could God always exist? I mean, you can't explain these things. And they're even contrary to science. That's what faith is.
Because God said it, you believe.
I have a question. So, he ox out of a pit, okay, they ate the corn. That was, but like, eating pork, they couldn't really, because remember the Maccabees were tempted to eat pork, and he rejected it. So,
for the sake of the argument, a Jew is somewhere and he's starving to death, and all they got is pork.
Right.
He can eat it.
So, what was the Maccabee, where he, remember he did not, he said...
Yeah, because they didn't need to eat it.
They didn't need to eat it.
Yeah.
Okay,
It wasn't a Pekiah.
Right, okay, so they...
Yeah, they were making them eat it just to break their law on purpose.
Okay, so then, yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, when you're talking about... If somebody was really starving and they had nothing else to eat, they would be able to eat the pork.
Okay.
And before that pork law came in through Moses, they were eating pork.
Right.
Noah ate pork. Noah and his sons ate pork. So you're allowed to eat pork, you can't eat pork. Now you can eat pork again.
Right.
It's a disciplinary law. That's all there is to it.
Because they weren't starving the Maccabees.
No, and if they're making you do it, specifically to violate your law for their God, that's even worse, which is what the Greeks were doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what if they were starving them, but all I got is pork.
You still can't do it. Because of the reason they're doing it. When they were, the pagan Greeks were making you do that as an explicit sign to deny the whole, your God, your whole religion.
Right.
So in this case, I'm starving.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it because I'm not going
to
submit to
idols.
Huh?
If you knew meat was sacrificed to idols, you can't eat
it. But the Maccabees thing, it wasn't just pork. It was pork offered up. It was pork. You're right. That was one of them.
Right.
The other was meat offered up to idols.
Right.
That was another thing. So it was a double. Now, St. Paul says you can do it.
But don't ask.
But once you find out that it really was offered up to an idol, if you're alone, he says you can still eat it because an idol's nothing. But if other people are present, don't eat it because they're going to think you're eating it as an offering to this idol. So his best advice was, if you know it was offered up to an idol, don't eat it.
Right.
If you ate it and you're all alone, it's not a big deal because you know that it means nothing. I'll give you an example of all the food we got here. The rabbis are putting all kinds of blessings on this food we got with their little... And we're eating it. And we're eating it. They got their kosher signs on there. They got the rabbi does his little thing. And so he thinks we're breaking the law every time we're eating it.
Yeah. Big bucks.
But disciplinary laws, it's common sense.
Yeah.
They're talking about faith and morals. The Stoic rabbis that were, and not only did they not believe it, they were totally strict on these disciplinary laws, they started making up crazy laws.
Yeah.
Laws that Jesus rightly said, I didn't make. I didn't. The 613.
Cheese, and they say you couldn't eat meat and cheese together.
We read the book. I never read that. Now, even Jesus pointed that out. It was great about the Chosen too. The whole movie. They talk about the 613 laws.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of those laws God never made.
Yeah.
And they had to keep them. And Jesus even said to them, You make all these laws that are not of God. It's a tradition of men. You bind men down to it and burden them down with them. You yourself don't even keep them. So that was going on then.
So that is true. Like that's like 613. That was in the Old Testament because I thought it might have been.
It's not in the Old Testament. But, that's a point. It's attrition of men.
Right, right. But I'm.
They were believing that they were.
But I know, like the current day Jews, like say 613. You know what I mean? The Talmud.
Even back then, they had a lot.
They
So well, Jesus was saying to them then? Then
well, right.
Jesus.
Yeah.
It's those Pharisees. You got all these laws that are an attrition of men. And they said it was attrition of God. They lied. He said, how can you say this is of God? And then you're making up laws that are all tradition of men. All these laws. The one he brought up was, you made a law that any money that you don't have to help your parents in lieu of helping the church. So like, oh, I got to help the church. So better give your money to the church and don't help your parents at all. So then you let your parents starve or be needy. So they had these laws back then. And they were saying it came from Moses. It came from the people at the bottom of the mountain, the 72 elders. They had it at the time of Jesus even. And they added probably more to it. I don't know if there were 613 back then. Yeah. But as you go on, they may have added more when they were in Babylon. Captivity. After, in the New Covenant era. But they were already doing that. They were already making all these laws and binding people to it. Jesus said in several places even, you make all these laws. You bind people and you can't keep even one of them. It's a burden. And the apostles show that when they were talking. Wasn't it if they were at the fire?
Yeah, yeah. Or they're teaching Matthew how to turn.
Yeah, yeah. And they're talking. And he goes, I ate cheese with meat once.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got sick and I never
did
any
pork.
Andrew.
Andrew, yeah.
I was in the land and all that there was pork and I ate a piece of pork. Oh, it was good, you know.
It was amazing.
It was funny because when I was doing my searching, you know, I was in college. And I went to a rabbi one time because I wanted to ask him about what they believe in. You know how many commandments we have? Oh, 10. No, William. No. 613. I'm like, what? And then they just went, that's when I first found that out. But
Will has a habit with talking with rabbis. The only reason I'm not putting it online, I don't want somebody who's with us going to leave. They're going to use it against us.
Yeah.
He had great conversations with Rabbi David Weiss. It was amazing.
Yeah.
He spoke to the guy 2, 3, or 4 times. And the guy would always answer and want to talk to him.
Yeah.
And we got a lot of good information from him.
And he was goodwill in that sense. Remember the guy down here in Cruces?
Yeah.
He cut me off.
Oh, he cut you right off.
Very,
David Weiss.
I know.
He'll call you back and he'll say, text you here. Yeah. Talk to me now. And we'll have great conversation with him.
Yeah.
I still think we're going to get those guys.
Yeah.
We are going to get some Jews. Yeah. A lot of Jews. Matter of fact, we're going to get more Jews, I think, than you're going to get these nominal Christians or worse.
Oh, yeah.
You guys were in Williamsburg. You saw how they live.
Yeah.
I want to post that clip up showing how they live. No feminism. No homos.
Yeah.
I mean, they got order. They got their own rules. They got their own stores. You know, and you go to them. They give interest-free loans to their own people. Do Christians do that? It's like the one kid, the Palestinian kid. He's my but we're trying to take advantage of one another.
I got $1 million. I'm not
going to
give
it to you. That's it.
But Jews, they stick together. They stick together.
Isn't that an indictment against Christianity?
Oh, totally.
True Christianity is not like that.
Yeah.
True Christianity is
what
we're practicing.
You come to me, Shylock, I need money.
That's
I
right.
Money.
And
Shylock,
you come to me.
You come to me.
As a Christian.
Which they should have called.
You'll now need me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I want money. You come to me, Shylock. I want money.
What a scandal!
Oh, it is.
But when you look at that, I don't think some of you guys saw it. Not all of you. Remember, you're watching how the Jews live.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's good.
They're a lot less evil than the nominal Catholics.
Yeah.
They are. You can talk all you want about the Jews. You know, that's another thing. Yeah, we know Jews that deny Christ are evil. They're going to go to hell if they don't repent. But they're not the only people. Muslims are evil.
Yeah.
Pagan Viking, that guy Adam Green, he's a piece of crap. He's worse than the Jew. That guy rejects the whole Bible.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy Adam Green, he don't believe anything.
No.
He's the Jew that he's like, apparently even racist against. He's worse than that Jew.
I know.
And he's walking around like a peacock. The Hindu, the Buddhist, the nominal Christian. So take a look at yourself first. Yeah, these guys are bad. But if you don't if a so-called Christian is not a real Christian, you're causing more trouble to Christianity than anything in the whole world. It would be better for you to call yourself a Hindu or a Buddhist or a Muslim than call yourself a Christian. Giving Christianity a bad name is the worst thing that can ever happen in the whole world. And why has God allowed it? It's in the Bible. It's given the Antichrist to blaspheme God, his tabernacle, and his church, and his faith. False Marys, false Christ, false. Why is God allowing it? Because the world's worthy of it. Because these so-called Christians were in apostasy for a long time. And he's allowed them to fall under this deep deception. And God, and you say, well, it's going to prevent people from converting. Well, then, God, they're no good neither. God knows he's got a lot of evil people reserved for these last 1,000 years, except for these final days when he's going to bring some people in. So in God's predestined mind, he's looking at all the people he's going to put on the earth before the earth's even created. And he looks at these last 1,000 years and he goes, give me a lot of ugly, nasty, filthy souls, reprobates. And God knows them before he even places them. Yeah. Dial up about 90% of them for the last 1,000 years, except for the last end time. Then we're going to dial up some good ones. It's exactly the way it happens. And it's, and it's the whole world, because you have nominal Christianity, there's no hope of salvation for even the non-Christians, because it's not being preached. And that's God's will too, because you're not right neither. If God allowed this, this is telling you how evil mankind is. How many times did he tell us in the Bible, most men are evil? Even during the Old Covenant era, most of his chosen people were evil.
Yeah.
Most, and most of the people that come in are. That's just the way it is. You don't question God when it comes to that. And the Jews, they went bad too. And they scandalized true Judaism during the Old Covenant era when you look about it. And what's that one verse? Except David, Achaz, and Josiah all committed sins against the faith, the kings of Judah, and every king in the northern kingdom of Israel. Yeah. If you guys read the Bible, when I first read the Bible, I was keeping my notes of every king in the years of his reign. And I'm going to the northern kingdom, started by, Jeroboam. Sits the golden calves up. So I got it. I still have it saved. I went evil, 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 evil. Not one in the whole northern kingdom. Judah kingdom, evil, 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 and then good. Died, was evil, but died good. Evil, but died good. Evil. David, and when they say David was good and Josiah and Hezekiah, he committed sins against morals, adultery and murder, but he never sinned against the faith.
No.
That's what they're saying. So you're talking about all the, and when you read it, you see all these other kings committed sins against the faith.
Yeah.
Others were saved too, but they started out, some would be good, then evil, and then good too. So you say, oh, this guy starts out good. This king, the high priest that was guiding him died, and he went bad. Now he's evil. And another high priest comes in, he's good again. So I'm looking at how the thing operates. That's just most people are evil. That's all there is to it. You're looking at it when, I mean, we're telling people verses that are so clear. I mean, if that's not a sin against the Holy Spirit, I don't know what it is. I mean, like, about the Jews not believing in Christ. They're called antichrists. They're called sons of the devil. Under the wrath of God, vipers, snakes. I mean, and yet, they ignore all of that and call themselves Christians. I don't know. I've committed sins in my life about morals and all that. And even faith. Because I didn't have faith. But nothing like that, though. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, if I really, really wanted to be a Christian and I wanted to study it, I'm gonna be honest about it. You know, when I first started to read the Bible, I loved it so much. I went, this is the God that I know that I was never taught. And I just picked it up right away and I just soaked it right in. Other people, you read it and then they twist it.
Look how long the Indians were ignored, and then he brings the faith to them. They still ignore it.
Bruce. Let's look at the Indians. The holy Indians. They put them on the pedestal now, the Indians, these pagan Indians. All the pagans are on a pedestal. Until the year 1500 A.D., around the 16th century of our Lord of A.D., they were in darkness. They all went to hell. Everyone living in America's went to hell. Oh, how could that be? All right. It's God's will. It's predestination. I go over this example a million times. I say it again, okay? First, the human body's formed on conception, and then God creates the soul within its body, right? God, Jesus Christ, creates the soul within its body. Jesus Christ can create a soul in the Americas in the year 600 AD, or he can create that soul in Catholic Europe in 600 AD. If he sees the soul as a good old soul, because God knows all things from the beginning of the world, he knew Judas was going to be trained from the beginning of the world where he was created, he knows where to put him. He ain't going to put that soul in America. He's going to put it in Catholic Europe, where it's going to learn the faith, and he's going to be saved. The fact that God allowed that person's soul to be created within in the Americas, in the womb, when there was no hope, it means it's a bad, rotten, reprobated soul. All things are known to the Lord God before they're created. Even Isaiah 48, transgressing, I know thou shalt transgress. I called thee a transgressor from the womb. The wicked, Isaiah 54, 8 or something, the wicked are alienated from the womb. They got astray from the womb. How could God? God knows that. You don't know that. God knew Judas was a traitor not only when he was an infant, but before he created the whole world. You and I look at Judas when he's a baby. We think as a Jew circumcised, he's a faithful Jew. Even in the movie, he looks like he's good for a while. But God, Jesus knew in his heart, this guy's going down. The same thing about the pagan on the island. Don't you question God. So he put them out there. And now, as Brother Bruce said, so now God opens up salvation to the Americas because Europe went bad. And he's turned to America. Later, Guadalupe. Then we started to get a lot of converts. And in America. Time for American converts. And it was good. And a lot of converts. But then what happened to them? They're all bad now. They all went bad. They went bad too. The Indians, the Mexicans, the South Americans, forget the United States people, they were never good. I'm not talking to the citizens here. They went bad. The Custeros were good. Look at that movie, De Custeros. You want to look at some good Mexicans and how they were betrayed by the bastard in Rome, Pastor Antipope Pius XI?
Yeah.
Turned his back on them? Where would a Jew do that? Wouldn't an apostate? No, they don't. They help one another. He could have got Catholic France, Catholic so-called Spain, even though we know they had their bombs and all that, in Italy, to come over there, and the United States isn't going to take over Mexico. He would have defended the Cristeros. That movie shows it perfectly. And the guy was right at this. I'm not going to listen to that guy in Rome.
Yeah.
We shed our blood for this. If we give in now, we're going to give the power to the Freemasons, and we lost. It's over. We got a chance to break their yoke, and they got no help. Same thing in World War II.
Yeah.
By not supporting the Axis powers, they supported the Freemasonic, communistic allies. So that's just, in other words, it's the same old stuff. You know, when you're looking at the back the Jews in the time of our Lord. You know who that is today? Nominal Catholics. We're now in that, nominal Catholics are in that position of the Christ-denying Jews. Because they were God's chosen people. They had the covenant. You so-called nominal Catholics say you have the new covenant. You're God's, but now you're denying them. So when you read the scriptures now and you're looking at God's chosen, the Jews today are like the Gentiles, in a sense, because they're never believers. The nominal Catholics have done the exact same thing that the Jews did. And St. Paul warned about in Romans chapter 11. Be not high-minded, you Gentiles. Yes, I turned over to you because my people rejected me. They're no longer my people, but you're going to reject me too. In the end, or if you don't wise up, because that has nothing to do with race, and then when you do the same thing they do, you're going to be cut off, just like they were cut off. Because then they had a racial thing, which you get into. It was a big race thing. That's really bad when they started condemning the good Jews. I'm so glad I wrote about them. You talk about holy Jews as barbarians. The Jews were barbarians. They were savages. They were carnal. They were not like us. They only feared God but didn't love Him. We love God and we don't have to fear Him. I mean, think about all the stuff I'm telling you about. This was not taught by the early church fathers. They loved the Old Testament. When you read St. Gregory the Great and St. Augustine and Cyril of Jerusalem, you read when they're talking about the Old, they loved God's chosen people. They loved the faithful Jews. Somewhere along the line, some people were racist back then too. I'm not saying that they're, so that's true. Even then. Some of your Greeks came in and had that jealousy against the Jews. So it was back then. So there was some of that. And then it got worse with some people. And then when you're reading a lot of your modern commentaries in Roman missals, Andrew missal, all that, you get it a lot. Oh, they were carnal.
Yeah.
They were barbarians. They were not like us. Oh, the good Saint name was carnal barbarian. Saint Joseph was a carnal barbarian. Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. No, they're all carnal barbarians, and you guys are the good guys. We now got this super grace.
Yeah, right.
Where we're better than they are, and we can never go bad. That's even worse. We don't got to do anything. Christ did it all. We don't got to do any good deeds or believe in anything, just other than believing Christ. It got even worse. The big thing Christ brought was what?
Sanctifying grace. Well, sanctifying grace. And that was, they try to equate that as being like there's more grace in the new.
Yeah, yes, yeah.
That they, you can't, like, you can be more holy because of sanctifying grace. Cause you're being,
and what was the purpose of sanctifying grace?
To get to heaven.
But what did it do?
Well, it makes you whole. Well, yeah. No, I mean...
Remitted sins. It remitted sins. That's basically what Christ came, to remit sins.
Right.
They were forgiven under the old covenant cover, but they weren't remitted. They still had them. They had to have Christ come to get those sins remitted by his sacrificial death to get them to heaven. That's big! Yeah. But it does... They equate that with the Sistine graces... Yeah. And they're saying God didn't give them assisting graces to be perfect and holy.
Right.
They were you take a perfect and holy Jew and a perfect and holy Catholic, and they're equal.
Yeah,
equally perfect and holy.
That would be unjust. Like, so he gives more grace than just because I was born in the new covenant era. I'm exposed to more.
He'd be the author of sin. Well,
yeah,
you're right. Deuteronomy 18:13. Be holy and without spot before the Lord. Deuteronomy, Old Testament, Ephesians 1:4. Be holy and unspotted before the Lord.
Yeah.
He's telling both of his people to do it, but he's not going to give them the grace to do it?
Yeah.
That's a God of sin.
That is.
It's a God who doesn't want holy and perfect people. And racist people love it because they want to put down the old covenant, you know, and they want to think that they're better. And take a look at the way they're living. You think you're better? It's even worse because they think they're better, and they don't even have to be holy and perfect. They can't be, and they keep sinning. And as long as you believe in Jesus, you're going to heaven. They're worse even than...
Yeah.
You're talking about these Jews. Look at you. Look at the way you're living. There's a jealousy
that's
there.
Like, Shylock when he went to the party and he's looking at the...
Oh, that was great. He's got to go out to eat with the Gentiles because the guy wants a loan. And he says, Abraham, I got to go with these. And they're whoring around. They're drunk and they're singing filthy songs. And Shylock is going... Envy and jealousy. What caused Lucifer to rebel? It's because Mary was number one and not him. What caused these Gentiles to rebel? Because the Jewish race still is the most beloved race of God and always will be. Beloved race. Because that's the race he chose to manifest himself and to come on earth with. If you think you want to be greater, more beloved than the Jewish race, then get away from me.
Yeah.
I don't want nothing to do with you. And that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Us Spanish are better than the Italians. Us Italians are better than a... Look, if you want to talk who's second best, I would say the Italians. Why? Because their home was in Rome. There's only two ultimate homes of God, during the Old Covenant, at least, Jerusalem, Israel, and then Italy, Rome. But there's a jealousy that takes place.
That does not mean that an individual Catholic Gentile cannot be more beloved of God than an individual Catholic Jew. There are Catholic Gentiles who are more beloved of God than some Catholic Jews. And there are Catholic Jews who are more beloved of God than some Catholic Gentiles. I'm talking about the race as a whole. And the Jewish race is the most beloved race of God.
Yeah. Like that's Adam Greenspeak hanging out, right?
Yeah.
Well, God wouldn't choose a certain race.
Exactly. Why wouldn't he choose it?
No, he wouldn't do that. Because God, you know.
Yeah, God would choose a certain race.
Nah.
Okay. If you believe... First of all, you should be more ecstatically happy that God wants to become a human and live with us, no matter what race he is. I don't care what race he is. God wants to become human. I thank you.
Yeah.
They go, no, thank you, because he came to the Spanish. He came to the Israelites, the Jews, instead of the Spanish. He came to the Jews instead of... Now I don't want it. I don't want to go to him because he came into a Jew. Well, Adam Green, who's he going to come into?
Yeah.
He's got to pick somebody. Is he going to become a man from a raceless person that has no race? Then he's not really man. Because he has to come from the line of Adam. So you tell me that he wants him to be a Viking. He didn't say it, but that's what he wants him to be, a Viking person.
Yeah, I know.
That's what he wants him. If he came with the Vikings, he'd be all happy. Hey, Adam, if Christ was like a Viking, would it be? Yeah, that would be good. I think I like that. Just look at the Viking. How great we are.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
Yeah.
He won't go throw snivelling, dirty, laughing, affiliate Jews. You know, you look at the current day Jews at Arevo and they are bad.
Yeah.
I'll make no excuses for them. But that's not a good Jew.
Exactly.
That's not a faithful Jew. The faithful Jews are us. It's exactly. Spiritual. You look at the movies. You read the Bible. I love them so much, I can't even express it. They're our family. It's not the same as what you're looking at today.
Well, that article you just posted on Baldwin, that he made that point. Mm. Yeah, that was a great point. I mean, that was great.
That was
said, look, the people look at these people and they're not God's chosen people. They try to equate today's Jews with being God's.
Exactly.
People. And then look at
Phil Perotta sent me that.
That was really good. That was a good article.
Yeah. He's got Chuck Baldwin's got a lot of good stuff.
Yeah. But the thing, he used to be a Zionist too, and he got off it, you know. And now he's on.
Thank God for that.
Exactly.
You know what? That's why it proves you can they can still convert. Yeah. My way, if you start looking at what they're doing today,
I know
they're going to do it to you. They're not going to stop at the Palestinians. They're going to take over the whole world,
exactly.
Except for places where we're going to be, right. And they're going to put you under the yoke, Mr. Christian Zionist, and you're going to have to deny Christ.
Yeah.
Outwardly deny him and kiss the ass of the Yanunka.
Yeah.
What are you going to do then?
Yeah, exactly.
Too late.
Yeah.
Too late. God's going to let them bulldoze you like he bulldozed the Palestinians all these years. You're going to get it. Matter, I know the person, the Jew, I know him.
Yeah.
I say it a million times. The Jew may hate us,
but
he respects us because he knows we're telling the truth. He can't stand them.
No, he can't.
Because he knows.
Yeah.
They don't respect the Zionists because they know he's a sniveling liar according to his own beliefs.
Yeah.
So they just, you know, use him like a puppet.
Yeah.
Get out of this guy's a sap. They can't wait to come to power because I had to bear with your Christian Zionism all these years. Now get rid of your Jesus once and for all.
Like I have Benny Hinn. Was it? He started looking towards the Temple Mount.
We got to get that.
That was perfect.
Benny Hinn's a Zionist. Who's a rabbi? He's a famous guy.
Richmond.
Yeah, rabbi
the
Richmond.
Institute, the Temple.
Yeah. They're near the Temple Mount. And Benny Hinn, and he's, you know, all his Christian Zionists are there, and Rabbi Richmond's next to him, just facing the crowd. Then he starts going off on Jesus, Benny Hinn. Jesus, the Messiah! And then Rabbi Richmond turns his back to the crowd, and he walks over looking down at Jerusalem, you know? And he's going like this, you know, while he's talking, and he's just turned his back. And I went,
and exactly.
How come he's not listening? I thought he's God's chosen people.
Yeah.
I thought he's great. And they say that he's greater than you.
Yeah.
He don't want to hear about Jesus.
Yeah.
Don't that piss you off? I mean, aren't you a little bit angry?
Yeah.
Don't you see that there's like an irreconcilable thing? And that, I can see when Rabbi Richmond's going, I can't wait to kill these bastards. I can't wait to kill these bastards. I'm going to kill them. Dead.
Yep.
I want to kill him.
No more Jesus. I had to drive them nuts. Just the name of Jesus, they go crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
But that's why the fact that they have to listen to it.
I know exactly.
When they're Christians, that's part of their plan.
Yeah, no,
put up with it. Don't get too crazy, you know. But I'm just hoping that some of them, when you're seeing the way these people are behaving, what the heck is going on? They're like... you know what these people are, though, I think? They love the world. They love luxury, prosperity.
Yeah.
They got positions of high authority. If you're working in a white-collar job, you're going to college, you're dead if you don't toe the line.
Yeah.
And that's all there is to it. You want to have a good job. You want to have a fancy white-collar job. You want to be a banker. You want to go into lawyers. You want to be a doctor. Nowadays, if you want to stay up in that position in colleges and universities, you better toe the line. Yeah. And that's basically it.
Yeah.
Some people might even go and say, I know, he's right. But look, if you talk out in public, we're going to lose our job.
Yeah, I'm done.
Hey, exactly. Pop, we're not going to have steak every day.
Well, that's who's...
You ain't going to be having steak anymore at all pretty soon. Anyway.
Greg, well, I want to say, I mean, that's what he told you, right? You got nothing to lose.
Oh, yeah.
Great win.
My friend. Actually, when I lost everything, you got to be willing to lose everything. That's what I'm telling you. To renounce all your possessions. And that's basically what I did. And when I did, it does free you. It's true. But when you have things, it's hard.
Yeah.
I'm just talking to people. Let's say you got 3 kids or 4 kids. You're paying for them to go to college. You worked your whole life for them. You got a nice house. You go on 2 vacations a year.
Yeah.
And you get your pension. They got the health care. And you see, if I talk out against the Jews, I'm going to lose all of that.
Yeah.
I might not even have health insurance for my 3 kids. I got to take them out of college. Shouldn't be in college anyway, which is another issue. I'm going to lose my fancy home. I'm going to live in a little trailer park and no more vacations. That's what he's looking at.
Yeah.
And first of all, if he may want to do it, his wife will kill him. Or if the wife wants to do it, the husband will kill her.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be on totally different pages. Yeah. You're not going to get the whole family going along with that. Even myself. It's true. Yeah. When I had my business in Newark, my optician place in the haunted house that these guys saw, I was doing good. I could have been a prosperous, good job, business. It was going good. Thank God sent the devil after me, beat me up physically and spiritually, tore my house apart physically, literally, beams, paneling, thing, blew the whole house up, and that's when I went to God. If God didn't do that to me, I don't go to God. You know, when it all started, my guardian angel told me, now it all starts. I was on the third floor at the top of the stairs, right by the closet. I remember it like I remember anything. My guardian angel told me, verbally, now it all begins. And I went, what? And bango. I lost everything. And I didn't care at that point. Like, in the beginning, then you give up. You go, that's it. Then you start looking to God. And because I got under loose, right?
Yeah.
So what could he take from me, you know? And when I ended up at 517 North 6th Street, I told you, I left the haunted, went to that other place. And I was praying a lot. I still didn't have the whole faith. And I'm listening to Protestant preachers and all that. I'm reading the Bible, though. Then people break in and they steal my computer and my TV. But they don't take my religious stuff. And then I walked in and went, my God, I'm praying now. I'm reading the Bible. My God, why did you allow this to happen? I fell down on the floor even. And then I thought about Job. I went, don't go any further. Don't start arguing with God. I says, God, I know you did it. I don't know why you did it, but please, why, you know. But after that, I got even closer to God.
Yeah.
Even closer to God. So my point is, a lot of these people that may convert, they're going to need to have their toys taken. They're going to have to be destroyed. Their possessions. They're going to need to be, if they're a good will, God's going to take away physically, because they're not going to be able. You take your husband and wife and kids, they're not, unless God takes it away, and then they got nothing left. So here, my point is, the guy that's got the three kids, he's got the college, he's got the health care, he's got the home and the vacations. Well, God sends a lightning bolt, burns up his home, gets him fired from his job, the kids get expelled from school, so he's got nothing to lose. So you sit back going, well, those are the things that were keeping me back. I'm angry now. I don't got anything. Now you go to God. Because now that's, who's left? You go to God, it's no longer an obstacle. That's why I said, when God destroys this world and he starts punishing people, it's a blessing.
Yeah.
And a lot of these people living in the Western democracies are so spoiled,
right,
even like I was.
Right.
They need their things to be physically taken away.
Well, like you mentioned, like during COVID, it was a great blessing when people had to stay home and
read. Yes.
Even Matthew, yeah.
It kept them away from school. Yeah. They had to study.
But Matthew was saying that when COVID, he had to stay in. That's when he started reading the Bible.
That was the benefit.
Brother Matthew, exactly.
Yeah.
And you had said that too.
Yeah.
Like, this is a blessing. Yeah.
And like you said, back to the friend of mine who was a Newark cop and all that, and I told him about what went on with me. He's seen everything that went on.
Yeah.
And I told him, well, you know, you got to believe in Christ. He says, yeah, Rich. He says, you got to talk against the Jews. He all of us knew about the Jews.
Yeah.
And he says, yeah, Rich, but you got nothing to lose. That's what he said to me. He says, you got nothing to lose. That's interesting. That's why our Lord said in that one verse, he's not willing to renounce all his possessions, cannot be my disciple. It doesn't mean you got to be willing to renounce your possessions if you have to. Because think about this. The devil knows your heart. He knows what you think, what you love, and what you don't love. If the devil knows you love something more than God, he's going to go after that. Bango! Like when Bill Sal does his target practice with the bang, bang, bang. The devil's bang, bang, bang when he knows what you love more than God. And he goes after that. Family, money, friends, fame, you know, whatever it is. Fornication, whatever you love more. That's not even something you should love anyway. But, you know, even something that you could love. Like a family. A husband and a wife. He's going to go after it.
Weakest link on the
team. The weakest link, yeah.
Yeah.
That's how you got to be willing to give up everything, give up everybody. Even that's why in a good Catholic community, in the church, if somebody's really bad, what does St. Paul say? 1 Corinthians 5:11.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
If anybody's named a brother, be a fornicator or an idolater or a drunkard or a railer or an extortioner, with such a one not so much as to eat.
Yeah.
Kick him out of your community to keep it pure. That's how you keep the community. It doesn't matter who he is. I always said this a million times. If everybody that left there came back in right now to the church right here, it would be chaos. You guys would say, which Rich Stoney's? There's real barbarians in here. What? This place is a mess. You'd have all kinds of wackos in here who didn't conform.
Yeah.
They don't want rules, you see. Democracy's another thing. Watch out for democracies. No one's going to tell these people what to do. They don't believe in kings, monarchy, dictatorships. No one's going to tell them what to do. I'm going to do what I want
to
do.
What did it lead to? What we have now? Chaos.
Yeah. Your Western democracies are the worst.
They are.
This is not, it's worse than communism. Communism was bad. I don't make excuses for it. This is worse. Communism is what it is. You know where you are. You're all poor. You're all oppressed. And you know you're poor and you know you're oppressed. Go to God. Okay, it's not great, but Western democracy is more deception. Makes you think you're prosperous and blessed and you're not. And it's the opposite. At least in communism, too, you're under a yoke. Some type of a yoke, even though it's an evil yoke. These people, it's a, wait, Western democracy, they don't, it's so sneaky. It makes you believe you're not under the yoke, but you are under the yoke. The government, you're controlled. There's no such thing as democracy. It doesn't really exist. The people that are in power make your rules. You got to follow them. Not everybody can rule. You see that today, especially with what's going on, when they want to pass laws, especially against natural law stuff and banning conservative people. You see right. that.
So you can now speak against the Jews. You can't.
Oh, no.
But the anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
They does come that, yeah.
Nope. You don't got a right to do that.
Yeah.
Democracy goes right out the window.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Everything's out the window. With that. That's Lucifer's biggest thing, rebellion, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he's lying to these people because it doesn't really exist. Because, like, really, there's two people you're serving. It's either God or Satan.
Yeah.
Satan's the author and the motivator and promoter of every false religion and false God. He's the one behind it all.
Yeah.
All of that. Yep. So it's a monarchy. He's at the top of the list there. He plays one against the other. And I hope he's having fun because it ain't going to last too long, all right? And I know you really don't have. The only thing he has fun hating. Sinful hatred. Anything he can try to get back at God. And it's all done with this. And he knows he cannot ultimately get God. He knows he can't. That's what kills him. He knows he can't get to God. So he tries to get to us. That's why you got to be ready to be attacked. It's a war. We're his God's children. He's going to come after us. What, are you afraid? Any true Christian, any true Catholic had the same battle. Are we going to come along in these days, especially these final days, and say, I'm scared, I don't want to get attacked by the devil? You're making a mockery out of all our Catholic brothers that came before us that were willing to die for the faith, willing to be beat up by the devil and face him down right to his face. So what do they tell you in your nominal Catholic churches today? Don't judge anybody. Don't condemn anybody. Be peaceful. Sit back and let Mary do it all. You guys don't got to do nothing. Hey, I'm off the ticket. I got to do anything? You mean all the early Catholics had to go out and preach and teach and learn and run and hide and resist? I just got to sit back and let Mary do the whole thing. I ain't got to do nothing. Who's going to be doing the preaching? I haven't seen Mary come down on earth preaching. You want Mary to come back? First of all, you dirty bastards, I smack you silly 25,000 times. You want her to come back on earth? She's done her time.
Exactly.
Now you do your time.
Yeah.
Jesus did his time.
Yeah.
You do your time. The apostles did their time. A lot of them died as martyrs.
Yeah.
Isaiah's got sawed in half. Jeremiah's got stoned in Egypt. You do your time now, you coward.
Yeah.
Cowards. God hates a coward. If you can hate anybody while he's alive, it's a coward.
Mm-hmm.
He abhors him. You can still convert if you're a coward. I'm not saying I don't still love you, but I abhor you if you're a coward. You can't convert as a coward. That's it. You're loving your life more than God, who gave you the life and can give you everlasting life. See, they don't see this. They just see what's in front of them. All this prosperity, all this food, all these vacations. And they don't keep thinking, you're going to die one day and you can't take it with you. What's going to happen when you die? It gets worse. They thought they're going to go to heaven when they die. That's what's really bad. Everybody right now in this world believes they're going to go to heaven when they die. That's the ecumenical, Vatican II especially. It doesn't matter what God or what religion you worship, God's merciful, everyone's saved. Everyone. Except for Hitler and Satan. And us. By the way, did that guy Larry tell you and Brother Matthew that you're damned, even though you believe in Jesus?
We're praying for your salvation. Oh, wait a minute. I thought we believed in Jesus. Yeah. We'll pray for your salvation. I'm like, because we tell them we're praying for their conversion. Oh, we're going to pray for your salvation. Oh, we believe in Jesus. No, no.
It doesn't count.
No, it doesn't count.
We believe in Jesus doesn't count. It's a special case. You have to believe in Jesus like that. Also, that there's a different belief in Jesus.
Exactly.
See what I mean? Crazy people.
I can see the devils getting bored because they prefer apostates over there instead of like a Satan worshiper. You know what I mean? Apostates is what they really celebrate. Right? And I can see them getting bored because imagine all the apostates already. You know, with the false prosperity.
And that's how the devil traps them. He traps them. You're right. It's not like outwards. It's not like explicit Satanism.
No.
It's Satanism in disguise. Yeah. Disguise of apostasy, false gods, false religions, which is Satan. But it's not outward Satanism. So that's right. They have an appearance of godliness, holiness. They think they're blessed. You know, I'll say an outward Satanist has more hope to convert than these people.
Yeah.
And why? Yeah, and they not just believe in the devil, they speak to him.
Yeah.
They offer up human sacrifices to him. Yeah. They do filthy orgies and disgusting things to him.
Yeah.
So they know that there's another world out there. And they know that if they finally get fed up with his filthiness and his disgusting things that he is, they'll turn to God.
Yeah.
All these other people we're talking about are 90% of them are practical atheists. Yeah. They don't even really believe in God or the devil. They don't really believe in God or the devil. I wasn't going to give a lecture today at all. And I don't care if it takes the whole time up. Look, we could do these things later, another day even. But that was part of like faith before the mass, all right?
Yeah.
I was thinking this the other day when I had my faith before the mass scripture and I went, and there's so many of them, you know?
Yeah.
One of them was about, he who does not keep my law, his prayer shall be an abomination. He that does not keep my faith in law, his prayer shall be an abomination. All those masses offered up by these apostates, nominal Catholics, all these prayers by the nominal Christians, it's an abomination.
Yeah.
Without the law, without faith, without morals, we don't have it, and we forego it because we choose the faith. I'm not going to go there and deny my faith to have a mass. God hears our prayers because we have the faith and we live by the moral commandments. If we break one, we confess. We live by God's law.
That's how you make your family really angry when you tell them, you can pray all you want, but God's not listening.
You know, when I wrote that article, Sister Mary Lou, I wrote that article about God doesn't hear all prayers. Mm-hmm. Man, did I get blowback. What blowback did I get from all these people?
It's a nation by with Obama.
Abomination.
Here they are.
They don't
one will
go against each other, right?
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you don't even have to try to explain it like that. You don't have to.
No, but
just it is
easy to think of it that way.
Oh, I know what you're saying. Yeah. Well, what they do say, they have one will and one operation. The example, I mean, you want to get into that.
Three people,
it's true,
human beings together, are they all going to ever...
They have one will and one operation.
Yeah.
And I said, how can they have one will or one operation when there's three different persons? I said, well, you're one person, right? Right? You're one person.
Mm-hmm.
My right hand could be doing something different than my left. My right hand's writing something and I'm doing something with my other hand. But I'm still one person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's one operation, one power source, although a human... You have one operation, one power. I could be speaking with my tongue, walking with my feet, throwing something with my hand. I give examples like that.
Yeah.
And it's good to give examples to help people, but you don't need them. I mean, I believe because I believe it.
Yeah.
You can give examples, and it is good to give examples. I do it myself. It's not, and St. Augustine did it, church fathers, they give examples, but examples can only go so far. And then something. I'll give you an example about that. They all have one will. But they all perform different actions, right? Mm-hmm. So, what was the will of the Holy Trinity in regard to the Messiah, the Son of God?
The Father
willed that the Son should die to redeem us. The Holy Spirit willed that the Son should die to redeem us. The Son willed that he should die to redeem us. One will.
Mm-hmm.
Only the Son is the one who performed the action. That's the distinct thing between the persons, is their actions. They perform different actions. If you don't believe that, then there's no distinct persons. They're not really three persons. It's a modalism. It's just one God pretending to be three. I wrote a, you know, I thank God because I wrote, you know what really gets me so angry? And I don't know if people are going to do it. This stuff is like steak. This stuff is beautiful. This answer, so this was helped people so much that they were reading my stuff. Eventually they're going to. But I wrote all about this. And I just want to talk about, like last night, we got so much going on with all of us. And I'm going, I mean, prayer book, Roman Martyrology, Roman Missal, all these other projects that I got to work on, and all the things you guys are working on, printing. And I was just, when I'm watching The Chosen, I took a break before I went to get my second wine. And I'm going, oh, God. So help me, help me. And then guy said, see, Richard, now I, all that time, you wanted, I didn't let people come in and didn't let you do miracles. Yeah, Lord. I knew it then, too. Because I always tell you back then, like, hey, Lord, when are you going to do the miracles? And even back then, God said, you realize if I did a major miracle for you right now, your major works are over. You're not going to have time. You're not going to have time to write all these books I already wrote. I knew it. I'd always say to myself, because you still want God to show his power. Mm-hmm. He goes, take patience. If I do what you want now, this work's never going to get done. So I'm talking to him last night. And I just said, thank you, Lord, for not listening to me. And I went, well, that kind of stupid, because I know you don't listen. You know what I mean? Like, you know, thank you, Lord, for not listening to me. In other words, you know, I'm not, if it's wrong, I ain't going to listen to you. So I was like, thank you for not listening when I think I'm right and forcing, because I, right now I'm telling him. We didn't even have miracles yet, and we're overwhelmed. That's what I'm telling you. We didn't even have that, and we're already overwhelmed. Yeah. People visiting. Yeah. And then I thought about parish priests, how beautiful they are, what a bulwark of parish priests is. I said, I'm reading Gregory the Great's letters and all that. Yeah. Once people start coming to power, my major theological works are over. I'm not going to have the time to work on them like I did. I still got a lot of stuff I want to do, and I think I'll have time maybe to do it. But this work I'm doing now is the end result of, I mean, you want to do it, but I still need to do something. So it gets a little bit overwhelming sometimes. And that's what God's saying. Now you know why when you were alone most of the time, I had nobody bother you. Nobody. It was just you and me, and I was writing the theological works. Now they're there. But when you get out and you do the pastoral care of a bishop and a priest, that I still tell, I'm going to put them on the pinnacle of everything, the priest even. He's the one that goes out and teaches the people. He hears the confessions. He visits a true Catholic priest is a bulwark. He gives people counsel. That's why when Sister Catherine Macon comes over here to visit, I'm going to give her two jobs that she can help me with. And it's a look, anything you guys can do is such a big help to me. Running this place, you got the same problem I have with running the place. You guys are almost overwhelmed. You are. Even brother, you know,
I like to say
it's the same thing.
It is true.
On that arena.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying here, when Sister Catherine Macon comes over here, I'm going to give her the calendar project and the Rome Missile project to work on that. That would take a whole bunch of time, free me up that I, because I still do need to do some theological works. I'm not never going to do it. But if I don't start delegating authority and giving jobs to other people, I'm never going to be able to get all the work done that needs to be done. And so it's good that she's coming here. These are the two projects I'm going to concentrate when she comes here. The calendar and the Roman Missal. I'm going to do the daily Lord's Day Roman Missal. I'll do that. I'm going to have her do like the Lent prayers and the commons and all that. I'm going to show her how to do that. And you got to realize that this work you're doing is the work of God. Is there any better work you can do?
No.
The work of God. I mean, God will give you such graces for this work. And when that Roman Missal fight, because Will, Brother Nick, we put years into this work. Yeah. We have it. We're used to it. Yeah. But it's so beautiful the way we set it up. And within 1 year, it'll be done. That's what I'm thinking this, you know. Yeah. I think it's going to be Trump's presidency.
Yeah, I know.
Or maybe when I finish the Roman Missal and post it off. I'm redoing my Bible, by the way, every day. And I'm making good progress on that. That should be done in about a year.
Yeah.
My fourth edition of the Bible. Everything.
Yeah.
So it's fun. And I say, St. Jude, help me not to quit or get overwhelmed. I'm over.
Yeah.
And then God says, see, Richard, you want to have miracles? Like you know, or you want me to show my power, more people to come in like a couple of years ago? You don't even got that many people and you're already loaded up. Look at even, yeah. I love, yeah. Me though, coming out here and doing the pastoral care, the holy hour, this is beautiful, this needs to be done. If you don't do this, everything else is for naught. But, so, you know, God's got his timing. Patience is a lot of part of it. We're at the part, I think, where Moses was at the Red Sea, you know? And we're like at the limit where, these two brothers, Matthew and Declan coming here was such a big help.
I know, totally.
And even Alex now.
Yeah.
We got another slave over here. And brother Sal, when he starts editing the movies again.
Yeah, totally.
And just, I mean, just him being here and all you guys, you have tithes, you're supporting the church, you're helping us.
Yeah.
So it's every little person. Look at the sisters over here. We can use a couple more of them, too. Hey, Laura, we could use a couple more sisters, please. See, all you guys might have heard me coughing during this lecture. I had the flu for like 3 weeks ago. I got it. The first 3 days were the worst. Then the first week was kind of bad. The second week was better. Now this is the third week. 3 weeks exactly today, and I'm getting even better. But this is the remember I told you that when you're sick, God gives you a grace. Mm-hmm. See this lecture?
Exactly.
Without me being sick, I might not have been giving you this one today or any. He requires it once or twice a year. Some people more get sick more often. But I know one thing. When God allows you to get sick, you get a lot of grace for it. If you bear it patiently, you offer up to the cross, and you come out stronger every time. Look at this lecture. I wasn't going to give a lecture today because you see, I'm still coughing.
Yeah, right.
I'm giving it anyway.
Yeah.
That's, even like that first week when you're pretty, messed up and you can't even think straight hardly. God gave me some deep revelations even then. And I'm going, wow, how am I doing this thing here?
Yeah.
So suffering, it's Christ has given you to not just to believe in him, but to suffer for him. Philippians 1:29. That can mean also martyrdoms too. Mm-hmm. But also God does send you your penances. And now you have people put curses on us. They want to lay us low. They try to lay the whole camp down. It wasn't just me. The whole camp got messed up. Mm-hmm. We're back. You're not in paradise. God wants to let you know you're in a battle over here. And anybody who put the curse on us for this to happen, they got it like sevenfold, believe me.
Yeah.
They could be dead even. Matter of fact, coming into the house today, when I was in the statue, Blessed Mother, I was greeting her, and Nick and I were talking about this the other day, and we believe they sprayed something over here.
Yeah.
They're spraying some stuff. Because the way we got hit, all of us, guess what I saw today in front of the statue? A big chemtrail right over the place.
Yeah.
Giant chemtrail. He's throwing another one down on us.
Yep.
Now, if God does, it happens a lot.
Yeah.
This God ordained that we should all get sick. Right. He allowed it to happen, but these people are bastards.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, the fact that Matthew and Ryan didn't get Brother Matthew and Brother Ryan, that was a
Miracle.
Total miracle. So, Ryan's always the first.
If we roll down, then there's no one here to help us.
Right.
That's if the whole house goes down and the mother goes down, there's no one to feed the kid.
Yep.
If you're that sick, that's
a total
miracle. Yeah. So. Okay, this happens. You're living in Job, even when God allowed the devil to attack Job. I mean, you look what happened to Job, even. He's a great example of what happened there. But another thing I was going to tell you, God's timing's perfect because I was healthy enough to have Christmas. Because I said, Lord, please don't let it affect our Christmas. Mm-hmm. Last year it did, by the way, for me. But this year, no, God, it was a perfect. I had enough, even now, I'm not 100%, but I can operate. So we were healthy enough for Christmas to have a good Christmas.
Yeah.
And, you know, this usually only happens once a year. It could happen twice a year maybe. But whatever happens, you got to accept it. You know, you got to sit back there. It's God's will. And God gives you confidence when you're sick like that, especially when you're really bad. The first 3 days or something, my whole throat was closed up. You could hardly breathe, you know. Next day, he gave me a couple signs just to, don't worry about it. You ain't dying. You need to be around here with Saint Joseph and other things happened, and he can. Because sometimes you go, Lord, if I die, did I do something wrong? I mean, if I die, I mean, don't let me die unless I'm in a state of grace, all right? If I messed up my mission, if I did something wrong, don't let me die until I'm in a state of grace. Let me know where I gotta go. Let me know where I gotta go or what I gotta do. And then I start thinking about where am I gonna go though? So there's no place to go. Maybe a mountain. So then I go to a mountain and hide out, and you tell me what to do. I just don't want to go to hell.
Yeah.
Even if I'm not the witness, even if I'm not going to be the Pope, If I've done something wrong, please don't let me. I just don't want to go to hell. I just want to go to heaven, no matter what. And a lot of times, if you want to go to heaven, you have to do God's will, which is the mission He gives you.
Yeah.
But you're thinking like this, and then the next day, God just says, take it easy here. But you still got to think like that. You know, yeah, St. Joseph, two things he did to confirm that. Don't worry. You're doing good. You're all right.
Yeah.
He does a lot of stuff like that. Even today, Brother T.J. posts the thing up about Russia and China. I was reading Jeremiah 27 this morning, and I was thinking exactly that. I was even saying, I should post something up about, here's Jeremiah again, loaded with Nebuchadnezzar's going to take over all these nations. Then I get online, and Brother T.J.'s typing that in. There's a lot of things that happen like that. Something the other day, I think I posted something else again the other day that happened. What was it? I forget. The thing about the tabernacle was amazing, that cigar. Mm-hmm. The Immaculate Conception. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you don't think you're going to get out of here without suffering. Some people, they have to suffer more. You know, some of the monasteries and the guys that are sick, I like to call them Brother Sickly. Mm-hmm. Little James in The Chosen. That's a great scene. So true, too. It's beautiful. If God gave you everything you wanted, when you wanted, you're like a spoiled brat. And there's no real test of faith. And plus, He's letting you know you're not living in paradise. You're still in a fallen world. Your body's still got concupiscence. You're still going to get sick. The devil's still... Matter of fact, not only is the devil still going to attack you. Now, before, when you were a pagan, he owned us. But he didn't attack us because he owned us. He'll attack you once in a while, maybe, but he knows he owns you. Once you start coming to God, then he starts attacking because he doesn't want you to go to God and he wants you to be afraid and to back off. But that should be a sign to you that you're doing something really right. When God converted me and God let the devil attack me, then it was a bonus for me because I went, okay, the devil really exists. That means God exists. Thank God my faith came right. Then I started studying. It was a positive thing for me when the devil started to attack me. And so a lot of people are afraid. They don't want to be attacked by the devil. They want to make a compromise with the devil. They want to make a pact with the devil. Oh, Mr. Devil, please don't do this to me. Oh, please, devil, I'll do whatever you want. Please, I'm going to lose the gun. Oh, please, what do I got to do? So can I go to a witch to put a counter curse on somebody or whatever? Thank God I never fell for none of that stuff when I was converting. You know, the white witchcraft, the black witchcraft. You know, my friend Danny, Puerto Rican friend. When they were putting curses all over on me, like Brujeria and Santeria, and my whole place. It wasn't just one night. It was like a long. I got the full works, to put it that way. So, my friend Danny comes in, and I'm reading the Bible. He goes, Rich. He goes, they're putting all kinds of curses down on you, Brujeria. He said Brujeria. Then he goes, my aunt, she's into Santeria. She can help you. I said, Danny, white witchcraft, black witchcraft, it's all evil. It's just me, Jesus, and the Bible. It's just me, Jesus, and the Bible. In the beginning, that's what it was. Then I started listening to some Protestant preachers, and there was a whole road to go down. But I didn't go there. The devil is hot. The movie The Believer is very good. Very good. To show you how you can be seduced from black magic to white magic. That movie's a really excellent, truthful, 100% truthful movie. And what happens to a lot of people is the white witches will deliver them from the black witches. And so what happens now, you put your allegiance with the white witches. You're still allowed with Satan. Now through the white witch. He got you through the white witch instead of the black witch. And they're both witches. They both work for Satan. So anyway, look at this big lecture I gave. Any questions from anybody? Any questions? Now, how should I end this lecture up anyway? Maybe make it a little fancier. We may have to forego maybe the mass prayers or just do it. We'll figure it out. This is more important. More important. I mean, you could always read the mass prayers yourself online. All right, so if I can end it, I'll make like an official ending. All right, so that's the end of our lecture today on the feast day of the most holy name of Jesus. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.